Welcome to Hope Central's latest podcast. Please check out our website, hopecentral.org.au, after this message for any further information. We hope you enjoy today's message.
Since we can't have church together, we decided that we would have church in our home today. So welcome. This is my home, and in my home today, I have my girls, Charlotte and Lily, and we're having afternoon tea because we love an afternoon tea and a mini cake. So just in case you don't know my girls, Charlotte is a new mum. She's an occupational therapist. She's been married for 4 years, correct? And she's great. So proud of her. And Lil is my other daughter, and she's a model and an apprentice hairdresser, and she has been married 6 weeks.
About that.
6 weeks. So both my girls are at slightly different life stages, and I'm just curious to have a chat with them about where they're at, because I really feel like being a mum these days is quite different, and being a young woman is quite different to when I was growing up. And I think there are a number of reasons for that, but I'm really curious to see what the girls have to say. So Charlotte, tell me about the new mum stage. How are you navigating that?
Well, I'm navigating it with a lot of support.
Oh, good.
A lot of support. I mean, I've been really lucky to have that, and that's probably how I'm navigating, because it's hard. There's lots of things to manage. There's a lot of things to think about. There's a lot of information, and you really want to do a good job. I know every young mum just really wants to do a good job. So it's a lot of pressure, and it can be really tough. But I think with support is how I'm managing it.
Yeah, good. So where do you think the pressure comes from?
Oh, I think there's a lot of things. I mean, I think a lot from myself. So like I said, you really want to do a good job. You love this little baby. You want to do the very best that you can. So there's some from you. I think some of the pressure is kind of feeling like you have to do it all, manage everything perfectly. I think that's part of it. And also things like social media. I think there's a lot of pressure from that.
Yeah.
There's a lot of opinion. Mm. A lot of different people have very different opinions. Things change. The recommendations from doctors and stuff change. So it can be hard to know what's right, what to do. I think that's probably part of it.
Mm. And I guess you're making decisions about what information you share about yourself or about Evelyn.
Mm-hmm.
That comes with its another layer.
Yeah, with social media, absolutely. Mm. It can be tricky. And thinking, you know, everyone's going to filter this through their knowledge and how they understand things and thinking about that too.
Yeah, so there does seem to be more pressure.
I think so, for sure.
I think so. What about you, Lil? You've just navigated a wedding, which is ultimate pressure. Where do you think the pressure comes from for you?
I want to blanket statement Pinterest, because I have seen too many fabulous weddings and the bar is so high. Same with Instagram and things like that.
Yeah.
You just do not realize. You were saying how when you planned your wedding, you bought a bridal magazine, maybe one came out a month, whereas it's a constant stream for me if I'm interested. Mm-hmm. So it's really hard to see and not compare yourself to these unachievable standards, these Photoshop standards, and compete with that.
So where do you think the pressure for life moving forward, where do you think that comes from?
I think we're in a generation where it's really easy to share your opinion.
Mm-hmm.
And because a lot of it's online, you don't necessarily filter what you're saying when you do.
Mm-hmm.
So you're kind of under fire that people just feel they have a right to say what they will about your marriage or whatever picture you've posted or what they do see or do semi-know.
Mm.
So, yeah, it just comes from all angles, and it makes it hard to battle insecurities and, just filter that out.
So briefly touch on the modelling pressure. How was that?
The old books.
Yeah.
I found I really had to put my head down, and I read a lot through those days, because you're backstage with 20 skeleton skinny girls that are all perfectly beautiful and their cheekbones are like, it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
You really just have to stay in your own lane and just almost blind yourself of your surroundings, because you don't really know what's going on in their home life.
Mm.
You don't know if they also battle bad traffic getting to the show or things like that. But we were trained to present as perfect and really professional and flawless and all these other things they want you to convey, so there is no way you can battle that.
Hmm.
Measuring in that standard, you really have to just stick to your own.
Certainly not for everyone.
No.
Mm.
It's such a mind game.
Yeah. So we've been talking as a church about being around the family table. Can you, you know, you girls reflect on what your experience of the family table was growing up? What do you remember about the family table?
I think one thing I remember a lot is it's a time set aside. So whether it was an evening when we had dinner or we generally had a breakfast on Saturday mornings, that there was regularly time set aside as a family.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a good half an hour of actually being together and having conversation and sharing food. I think it was helpful to have a time set aside to be together and
to that's good.
Unwind.
Yeah, what about you, Lil? You're always the one with less words in our family. What did you notice about the family table?
It taught me to listen.
Now I'm married to a
chatter. And your own chatter.
Really prepare me for the next step.
Mm.
But it was good to have a set time set aside that you could depend on for more comfort and good conversation. And if you have things you're feeling you need to talk about, to know there's another time coming up where you can share safely.
Yeah, that's good. And what about you, Charlotte? You've got your own family table for longer than 6 weeks, not like Lil. What do you do as a tradition for your own family table?
We're not quite as good.
Yeah.
We have a beautiful dining table that I think I said to you before I've used maybe
five times
without company being over.
This isn't the promotion we were looking for, but
what we do in our house is we have a breakfast bar, so we sit at the breakfast bar because it's just Luke and I, and we have
Your dad made you.
My dad made me, and Evelyn sits in her bouncer, and we usually have music on, and we're normally talking and listening, and so that's what we do. We sit at a breakfast bar. We're not as good at the table thing, except when we have people over, which is pretty often. So that's kind of what I like about our table. I picked one that was big enough for a lot of people. So
I noticed that when both of you were planning your houses, you both picked a really big family table. Like obviously that's something in your thinking that you wanted the space to have people over that were family. And I've already eaten at your family table, Lil, now that you're out of isolation, which is fantastic. So what sort of traditions are you hoping to have in your own family around the table as kids grow up?
I really like Saturday morning breakfast. I think that's a great way to start your weekend together and just wind down. So that's what we do. We pretty much always have a Saturday morning breakfast, and we make it together and we eat it together. So that's a tradition with the table. And I like regularly having people at our table and remembering to invite people in. And I think that's a really great way to get to know people.
Yeah, lovely. And having a baby, dinner times are tricky. And that's what we're talking about today, is the different stages that we're navigating. You, Lil, what are you doing around your family table of all the two of you?
All the two of us. we often eat on the couch as well.
This is not working that well. This is not well.
Not that often.
Okay. You might want to listen to my message later. Yeah, that's okay.
not all the time, but we're not such sticklers. But we do love having a table and having dinner together on that table, because your intention
The coffee table.
Dinner at the coffee table. That's next month's topic. We'll be sharing on. It is going downhill.
So we love our time at the table. Lucky loves to talk, so he can just go for it. Not that he's a bad listener, but you know, he's got things to say. So we don't have the distraction of TV or, I don't know, jobs to do, things like that.
So you turn the TV off?
Yes. If you have a table, we just the table. Sometimes music as well. But, it's just a time to focus in on one another. And it's a really good routine time to be praying together. And
that's nice.
Matt said when he was marrying us that's really an important thing he recommends.
Yeah.
So that's just like it's not an awkward time to say, hey, let's pray together.
And yeah.
It's true.
Yeah,
just do. Yeah. Like, bless the food and talk, like, reflect on your day.
Yeah. That's excellent. Do you do that as well, Charlotte?
Yeah, we do that. I thought about that recently. It's probably the easiest time to set aside that you even just say what you're grateful for and those kinds of things.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
Yeah, excellent. Getting onto the topic of church, you guys have grown up in the church. What have you learned from the church community about family?
About family?
Yeah.
Well, that thing is a lot of things that we've learned from church. I think one thing is you're exposed to a lot of different people doing mm-hmm. things a different way. So you learn about lots of different values that you can have and lots of ways you can kind of do mm-hmm. family and big families and small families and not having kids or, you know, being grandparents, raising kids. There's all sorts of families you get to know. Mm-hmm. I think for me, I benefited from having, I call them lots of aunties, really, mm-hmm. not just because we've mm-hmm. got aunties related to us, but also having lots of people not related to us except through church family
that
feel like they care for you and feel like they remember you. Mm-hmm. I think that's something I've learned, and I think you can learn different things from those people as well, that they might be really good at something, or I've talked before about, you know, being interested in something and there's always someone in the church that's learning about it, or something might be hard for you, there's someone that can help you with that. So I think for me as a mum, that's kind of in some ways takes a bit of pressure off, because I know I don't have to be everything and good at everything for mm-hmm. Evelyn, but she can learn some stuff from other people, which I think is really important.
Nice. What about you, Lil? What have you remembered about being in a church family growing up?
It helps to filter what happens in your home, I think, against other people's situations, mm-hmm. especially healthy, well-functioning families.
Yeah, that's a good point.
To just see the house might be messy, and in our situation, that was not the case. But there are things that can be different and can still be okay, still be all right. It might be a better fit for you and your partner as you leave your house, your family home. So yeah, it is a good resource to just gain some skills from and learn from. And
yeah, that's excellent. Yeah. So have you got any hopes for the church family as a newly married person, when we can see each other? Is there anything that you're hoping to learn from other people?
We are very excited to be hosting people and having people at our table. It's a bit of a damper that we can't newly intermarried. We're so excited. We bought our dining table. It's there.
Yeah. It's ready.
It's ready. I have bread rising. It's ready. So we're excited to host people and listen to their stories, like, away from the rest of our family. They're just speaking to Locke and I.
Yeah,
and
that's nice.
Yeah, I'm excited to learn from them and bless them, hopefully, with the things I can cook and the comfort we can create soon.
So we've had quite a slowdown, particularly Lil's had a slowdown since she got married, because, you know, we've had all these restrictions. What's something that you've really missed about not being able to gather together?
I think, like I mentioned before, how much I've loved being around lots of different people.
Yeah.
I've missed that for sure, and missed being around other young mums and seeing other kids. That's been something that we've really, really missed. Yeah. And I think particularly just as Evelyn's becoming more aware of other people and other things, is exactly when it's all kind of wound down. So it's been a bit sad.
And she's growing so quick and changing so quick, isn't she?
I know. So that's been a bit sad. And, you know, like I said before, there's people that I just love being around, and, you know, she's not getting to spend time with them at the moment, which is really sad. So I can't wait for her to be able to see them again and them to be able to see her.
Yeah, that's good. What about you, Lil? You've married and not seen anyone. So what are you looking forward to?
That was
what
quite have you missed? Shocking coming back from our honeymoon and, like, the world is shut down.
Like, and so it was Bali, wasn't it, when you were there?
And Bali was shut down.
Yeah.
That was really unusual.
Yeah.
We've missed just seeing people and having church. It's good that we've gone online and we have Zooms and still have our young adults and youth meetings and our groups of people, but it's not quite the same.
I think we do miss the face-to-face for sure,
and all sorts of people that you might not be best friends with but you still love seeing. Like, I don't see as much of Frank and Kathy and Brian and Rita and just lots of people
they're like family.
So what are you looking forward to when we can all get back together?
I'm looking forward to seeing everyone. But also things like singing together and praying together. Nice. I think I actually really miss that. I think it's really important. And I love being in congregational singing, and I've got my baby with me you know, earmuffs, because we usually do the front, and I've missed that. So I can't wait to get back to that again.
You too, Lil. What are you looking forward to?
Pretty similar. Not that I have a baby I'm holding. If I am, it's usually Evelyn.
That's right. Yeah, good.
But yeah, we just miss our community and how excited we get to see one another.
Yeah, that's awesome.
and make coffee, good coffees and stuff like that.
It's so, my calling.
Well, thank you, girls, for being with me on Mother's Day. And I'm looking forward to my Mother's Day lunch today, which is at Charlotte's house, which is fantastic. So thank you for joining us. I'll be back with you soon. Keep watching and see you in a minute. This Mother's Day, I want to talk to you about the importance of the family table, and there's lots of research around it. It says that eating at the family table boosts your children's word count. Young children learnt 1,000 rare words in comparison to 143 rare words which were learnt from reading a book. Kids eat more fruit and vegetables when you eat at the table. Kids are less likely to be obese. Older children have higher achievement scores compared to doing their homework or playing sports. Teens are less stressed, less suicidal, more positive, and have less risk-taking behaviour if they eat at the table regularly with their family. So why does this work? Why is the table so influential? I think it's because, as my girls were saying before, it's an everyday opportunity to connect, to build relationship, and just talk about life's challenges, and it's that daily coming together that really helps people. You might be saying, I don't have kids, I live on my own. Well, as you can see, I don't have kids either anymore, but you can invite someone else to your table, and that's really important too. I've been reading two books about sharing around the family table, and they are The Gospel Comes with a House Key and The Simplest Way to Change the World. And it's just made me absolutely convinced that hospitality is the way our generation needs to be. I really feel like we need to make it a priority again. We really have lost the art of hospitality. Because the thing is, hospitality creates family experience. Now, Jesus says in Matthew, "For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother." So it even says in the Bible that Jesus equates people doing his will as them being family. So family can be created. It doesn't have to be born. So have a think about this. Having someone at your table is the simplest way for you to show them love and acceptance and to be like Christ. So why wouldn't you do that? There are some things I want to talk about today, because it's Mother's Day, that are the most easily transferable things for being at the table. And the first one I want to talk about, if you're a follower of Jesus, you can teach gratitude. Let me share a story with you from Luke 17. And the story goes like this. Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem and he's walking along and he hears 10 men yelling at him. And those 10 men are yelling from a distance and they're yelling, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." So he goes over and he heals these 10 men. And then he says to them, "Go show yourselves to the priest." And that's because the priest can declare them well. So one of them, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked him, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." And that's from Luke 17. See, there were 9 other people that were cleansed, but it was only the 10th that returned with gratitude, because gratitude drives us towards Jesus, and that's when Jesus declared him well. So what I want you to think about this Mother's Day is, how can you encourage gratitude at your table? Giving genuine thanks, having conversations about what you're grateful for, and thinking about what your kids are grateful for can really build gratitude. Second thing I want to talk about today is teaching devotion. The table is a great place to teach devotion. I want to share 2 short stories with you about that. The first one comes from Luke. And he meets this guy who's super rich and he's really influential. And he comes up to Jesus and he's obviously forward thinking, because he says, "Jesus, how do I get eternal life?" Obviously a future thinker. Jesus says to him, "You keep the commandments." And he says, "Well, which one? Because there's a lot of them." And Jesus says, "Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Honor your parents and love your neighbor." And the young man says, "Well, I've done all those things." And then the young man says to him this, "What do I still lack?" And Jesus says to him, "If you would be perfect, go sell what you possess and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come follow me." When the young man heard all this, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. And that story is from Luke 12. You see, Jesus challenges him to give up what he was devoted to, and that was his stuff. That same question still applies to us today. Where is your devotion? Is it in your possessions, in your prestige, or is it in loving God? Devotion is a deliberate action towards something. What are you deliberately devoting yourself towards? So let's look at another story. And this one comes from Mark, and I really like this story. Jesus was in a town called Bethany, and he went to a guy called Simon, and he healed Simon because Simon had leprosy. So Simon, excited, can be back in his own family home, invites Jesus to his family table. So Jesus is at his table reclining for dinner. Now, he's sitting at the dinner table, lying down sideways, reclining, as they did in the time because they didn't have chairs, and this woman comes up to him and cracks open an alabaster jar of expensive perfume. Then she pours it over Jesus' head, anointing him. Now, that would have been a pretty uncomfortable situation, I would imagine. Imagine sitting around this table and someone coming up and cracking a jar and pouring oil on my head and sitting at my feet. You'd be pretty uncomfortable, I reckon. But Jesus wasn't uncomfortable at all. Some of the guests talk about this being a waste of money, or, you know, the money could have been used for the poor. But Jesus says this: "Leave her alone. Why do you trouble her? She has done a beautiful thing to me. For you always have the poor with you, and whenever you want, you can do good for them. But you will not always have me. She has done what she could. She has anointed my body beforehand for my burial. And truly I say to you, wherever the gospel is proclaimed in the whole of the world, what she has done will be told in memory of her." And that story comes from Mark 14. So here we are today. I'm sitting in my lounge room in Gawler talking about her measure of devotion. You see, Jesus is looking for that. He's not looking for what you're currently doing or what I'm doing. I don't mean he wants us to go around anointing people with oil, because that would look a whole lot weird. But what he's looking for is, how do you do what you can to show devotion to him? How do you devote what you have? See, the table is a place where you can teach devotion, where you can show devotion to God through your conversation and just how you serve people. So can I challenge you this Mother's Day? Think about something beautiful that you can do for God. I reckon you've got time. We've got lots of time at the moment. So can I encourage you? Encourage devotion at your table. How do you help your family to be first with God? The next thing I want to talk about is, the table is a place where you can teach authenticity. I just want to encourage you to share your journey. Be honest about your own faith and challenges. Be real about it. Being a Christian isn't easy, and setting God first isn't always easy. But be real about that with your family and those that are at your table. So also find out about what's tricky in your kids' lives. It might not seem a big issue because they're only six, but in their world, it's their biggest issue. So just listen to your kids and make sure they feel really heard, so that you can be authentic with them and they can be authentic with you. A huge one right now is managing change. I think we need to acknowledge we're not as good at managing change as we thought we were. Change is hard, change is stressful, and it's unsettling. And I think having good conversation, being authentic with your kids about what you're going through, is much better than hiding yourself away in your room and crying about it and not sharing your journey. Because kids are smart and they worry. So be honest with them, and with your partners, or your partner and your friends. That's important too. How do we manage worry? It's big. Matthew 6, 25 to 30 talks about not worrying. And it says, "Your Father knows what you need, and that you need them. So he talks about, it's not a singular thing, it's a plural thing. God has your needs. You don't need to worry, but that is going to require you to be authentic with him and to work on your own devotion and your own gratitude. So the whole point of the family table as a Christian parent or a Christian support person is to actually model the connection you have with God. It's allowing God to control you and not you control every situation. He's the ultimate parent, not you. You can't control your kids. You can't control your spouse. But God can be at the driver's seat if you just let him. I read this quote from Stephen Furtick, which I just love. And it says, "What we call a miracle really is just the right combination of your ordinary ingredients and God's extraordinary expertise. When God's super collides with your natural, sparks will fly." I think that's the miracle of being a parent, because I look at my girls and I think some of that is me and some of that is Joe, but a whole lot of that, I think, did I do that? They're fantastic. I think that's Jesus. Supernatural. That's God's guiding them and leading them. So we work with what we've got in our hands and we work with what we've got in our heart. But God fills in your lack if you only let him be in charge. So make that choice. Have faith in Jesus and he will make you a confident parent or a confident host. So the table is really important. As you can hear, I'm really passionate about it. But being at church together is equally as important. See, the thing is, we have in our homes the people we choose, the people we like, the people we've created, people that are friends. And we have people who probably like us a lot, not people that are that different. But the thing is, with church, we have people that God chooses. It's a gathering of his chosen, not your choice. It might be people you wouldn't choose, people you don't particularly like or have a lot in common with. But they are people that are good for us because they're God's family. It's also our chance to serve. And some of the things I'm hearing is that during this isolation, people like doing church at home, so much so they can't really imagine joining back together. But I think my concern with that is it's about a body of believers gathering, serving each other as Christ would have us. And I think if you're not missing that, then maybe you haven't found your fit for serving. So maybe when isolation's over, you need to think about how you're going to contribute. That would be great. We'd love your help. Lastly, I want to leave you with this. If I stay home from church, you would miss out on me, on my family, and all I bring to your life. If you stay home, I miss out on you, your family, and all you bring to my life. There will come a time when we can be back together, and I really look forward to that day. I hope you're looking forward to it too, because the church is important. We need to be together. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your body. We thank you for what you've done for us. We pray you inspire us to learn more about being devoted to you, to showing gratitude, and to being authentic, Lord. So we pray during this time, Lord, that you stir our hearts to these things, that you fill us with hope and you fill us with peace and joy for the future, Lord. So we thank you for this day. Amen.
Thanks for listening to today's message. If you feel God has spoken to you through this series, or if you have any prayer requests, please email us through our website, hopecentral.org.au.